This audio was recorded on the 2010 Feminist Walking Tour on International Women's Day in Dublin. This segment has Sinead from Choice Ireland speaking outside the site of the Irish Women Workers' Union in Temple Bar on Women in the Unions, and she is followed by Alia Hussain of Akida speaking on female genital mutilation.
About one-fifth of people were unemployed, and very few workers were unionised, particularly unskilled workers. In Ireland, this situation was to change in 1909 with the formation of the militant ITGWU. Women, unfortunately, were in a very precarious position. Most of them were unskilled and so not unionised. Many of the men's unions didn't welcome women members. And also, women were vastly overrepresented in professions such as domestic service, where it was very difficult to organise as they worked in ones or twos in big houses. This was all to change, however, in 1911. Delia Larkin, the younger sister of James Larkin, the famous trade unionist, decided it was time for women to organise. The membership was initially small, but within a couple of years, the union had recruited many of the workers, the ladies, the girls working in Jacob's Biscuit Factory and numerous other places. Union involvement was to become quite dangerous and quite unexpected in August 1913. William Murphy, the owner of the Irish Times and the tram companies, issued a diktat that nobody was to be allowed to be a member of a union. The ITGWU members in protest decided to shut down the trams, and Rosie Hackett and the women of the IWWU were one of the first groups to come out in support of the striking ITGWU workers. The 1913 lockout, as it became known, ran for several months. It was a long and bloody strike, with many people being killed, injured, and starving due to the lack of wages. Eventually, in mid-January 1914, it became clear that the unions weren't going to win, and many of them began going back to work. The women of the Irish Women's Workers' Union were one of the last groups to go back to work and held out the longest. Over the next 30 years, women's trade unions were to endure a very difficult struggle. This was a time of high unemployment, and many male unions blamed women working for their lack of employment. There was no evidence of this. Marriage bars were common, and many women resigned upon getting married. Louis Bennett, famous feminist activist, who eventually became chair of the Irish Women's Workers' Union, often argued that women working was not a right, but a necessary evil. Over their history, the Irish Women's Workers' Unions fought many fights on behalf of women. They managed to overturn the ban on night working for women. In 1945, they led a strike with the laundry workers, which led to the laundry workers being awarded 2 weeks' paid holidays. That was the first time in Irish history that industrial workers were given paid holidays, so it was a huge achievement for these women to make. They campaigned against the anti-woman amendments in the 1937 Constitution, but for most of their history, things like equal pay were not on the agenda. It was more an issue of survival. In the 60s, 70s and 80s, however, industrial work started to decline in Ireland, and more people were working in white-collar areas like teachers and public servants. Women were more and more represented in the workplace, and by the early 1980s, a woman was as likely to be a member of a union as a man. The IWWU existed as a union in its own right until 1984, when it was subsumed into a number of larger unions. Over its lifetime, the IWWU fought many fights for women's workers and for women in general. And their fight is still remembered today. And this year, hoping to place a plaque on this building when they come back here in early next year to use it as their headquarters. Amnesty, who use the building now, are also continuing their project of working for women's rights. Female genital mutilation is an issue that has become global. And today we have a woman from Akidwa, Alia Hussain, who's going to tell us a little bit about the global fight against female genital mutilation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sinead. I hope everybody can hear me. I wasn't expecting to be speaking kind of like open space, but thank you. So, as Sinead have said, I work for Akido and my name is Alouya Hussein. And for those who don't know, Akido was founded and established in 2001 by seven African women who at the time they were living in Ireland. And the formation of Akido was to address discrimination, racism, and domestic and gender-based violence for the women in migrant women living in Ireland. It is an ethnic-led group, and it's a non-governmental with a charitable status, and it's a representative body for migrant women living in Ireland, irrespective of their national, ethnic, religion, tradition, belief, and socioeconomic or legal status. So since it was founded, Akido, the issue of female genital mutilation has been part of their work, and initially women approached Akido and seeking help and support as they were victim of female genital mutilation. Most of these women would have had experienced female genital mutilation from their country of origin. Coming to Ireland, they were looking for somebody who could understand the issue and who could talk and give them support. And for those who don't know, female genital mutilation, as defined by World Health Organization, is a partial or total removal of external female genitalia or any practice that purposely alters or injures female's genital organs for none other medical reasons. At which age is this practice being done? Mostly is at birth to the age of 15. There are says in Africa that female genital mutilation is done prior of getting married and after giving of birth. So there are health consequences to this practice. Some of them could lead to death, but the severity of the FGM, it ranges because of the situation where this practice is performed. It's unhygienic condition that could lead to infection, bleeding, complication in getting pregnant for future childbirth, and could also lead to the death of the child when a woman is giving birth. So Akido's view on views FGM as a form of gender-based violence and as a form of human rights violation for women and girls. Akido works to eradicate this practice globally while recognizing that women and girls who are affected by FGM are now living in Ireland. They're here among us and need our support, care, and often medical attention. Akido approached this work collaborative, multi-sectoral, and informed by international good practice. So I stand here today looking for the support from yourselves to stop this practice emerging in Ireland and also to protect the women who are from Africa, from the countries that this practice is very common, to protect them that they are not subjected to this harmful and cultural prediction. So thank you very much.
This audio was recorded and edited by Andrew Flood on the Feminist Walking Tour in Dublin. For more audio from the International Women's Day Walking Tours, go to http://anarchism.pageabode.com/cat/gender.